Right. So what you're going to look at is Revelation 10, and it's on page 1240, right at the bottom. Okay. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants and prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jeff, for reading that. If you could keep that open in front of you, it'll help as we look to it. And let's pray for God's help. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Some of it seems very strange to our ears. But we pray that by your Spirit, you'd help us to understand, to believe, and to be greatly encouraged by what you have for us here in this passage this morning. Amen. I don't know if you ever think about kind of the end of the world. I guess we might sometimes get a bit of a taste of it. I remember walking out with a friend in amongst some trees, amongst some woods. There was a storm going on. It was student days, where back in the days when I thought that might be quite exciting to walk about in a storm. But as it got harder and the wind blew faster and you felt the trees actually creaking over you, and you started to think, oh, maybe this wasn't quite such a clever idea. I don't know if you've been in that sort of storm, or you can imagine kind of sort of tsunami disasters where nature seems to be intent on destruction. What will bring the end? Will it be nuclear war? Global warming? Well, we know it's God who is in charge, and he will bring the end of this creation for a new creation without suffering. But here in chapter 10, we read that he brings it about by you and me, and a little book doing sweet and sour work. And we're going to find this is a challenge to get involved, an encouragement to feel part of God's big plan for history. Now, you might be new into the series this morning, or might have missed a couple of weeks, but chapters 8 to 11 of Revelation are one section. Seven angels blowing seven trumpets and revealing part of God's plans in going on in the world. In chapters 8 and 9 last week, we saw the first six trumpets brought warnings, although sadly some still didn't repent. Chapters 1 to 4 were natural disasters, a third of the land, the sea, and the sky. Chapter 9 brought us the fifth trumpet, torment for those who don't follow Jesus and trust in God. Sixth of trumpet, death like a plague. There was difficult language and images, but I thought it was striking how closely it described the reality that we see. We see wars and bloodshed, natural and man-made disasters, famine, disease, and spiritual suffering for people without hope. The Bible is realistic. But we might have been surprised to see that these things came under God's authority. We're reminded it's not a planet out of control. These are judgments on a world which rejects its creator. But they're kind warnings. Something is wrong. Like a pain you get when you put your hand on something hot, and it tells you to remove your hand before something worse happens. These horrible circumstances that we read were God shouting to us, things have gone dangerously wrong. Turn back to your loving creator, Father God, before it is too late. And back in chapter 6, I don't know if you remember that far back in our series, there were six seals removed from a scroll. And then there was a pause in chapter 7 when God put his seal on God's people. He was showing God's protection. And again, we've had six trumpets, and then we have two chapters where there's a pause. God is showing how he deals with us, the church. And the church is not just holding on amid suffering and persecution. We find we have a vital role to play. So three mini thoughts for us this morning from this passage. See, believe, and speak. We're going to see something, we're going to be asked to believe something, and then challenged to speak. First of all, what do we see? And these visions are wonderfully visual things, aren't we? There have been six angels blowing trumpets in chapter 9, and then we have a seventh angel later on in chapter 11. So this isn't one of those, but instead it's a distinct mighty angel. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud, rainbow above his head, face like the sun, legs like fiery pillars, holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. Planted his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion, and the voice of seven thunders respond. This angel is different. He is a mighty angel. We saw one in chapter 5, and he's described in some detail. I was thinking about people sending things, and I thought particularly about wedding invites for some reason. I've had a range of wedding invites, maybe you've had. I've had the wedding invite, which kind of comes with wonderful calligraphy and gold embossing, and it shows just how fancy the people are that are inviting you to this. I've had an invite which was just a chopped bit of wood, with my name and address on one side and their invite on the other. It's just proving that you can send whatever you like through the postal system, apparently, as long as it has the right postage spent on it. And that showed how creative my friends were. And I've had one of those invites, maybe you've had, where the envelope comes and it's full of glitter, but you don't know that until you've opened it. And then for weeks afterwards, you're hoovering and picking bits out of glitter. And I guess that shows how funny your friend is. When you send something, it shows something about you, maybe. This mighty angel comes in a cloud with a rainbow, reminding us of God on his throne. His face like the sun, like the vision of Jesus we'd had. Legs like fiery pillars, reminding us how God led his people in the Old Testament. And he speaks like the roar of a lion, and thunders respond. This angel reflects the glory of God and Jesus the Christ who has sent him. In verse 2, he has a little scroll. It could be the same scroll which has been opened by Jesus earlier on in Revelation. It could be another scroll describing the following events. Whatever you make of it, this scroll shows something of God's plans. And do you remember right beginning of Revelation, verses 1 and 2? This is the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It comes from God to Christ to this angel to John. And notice also how the angel stands. He's got one foot over the sea and one over the land. First of all, he's big. But when you stand on something, it shows your authority over it. He stands with authority over creation. if this is the messenger, well, how glorious must our Lord God be who sent him? So this is the first thing we see. And the first thing we see is that our Lord, our God, is powerful. He can judge and he can save and he can lead. And he shows the things which must soon take place. And I think we need a continual reminder when we see the chaos of our world, or when we feel the chaos in our lives, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we are, we need to see again our Lord our God is powerful. See with John this mighty angel over land and sea and sky, fiery pillars. God can lead us safely. With cloud and rainbow, the mighty God can keep his promises to you. So if you see something on the world stage which seems too big to sort, see again the Lord your God is more powerful. If we feel maybe in our own lives we're beyond God's area of interest, he's got other things to look at, care for. See again the Lord of the land and the seas and the heavens. He is your God. See the Lord your God who can send such an angel. He is supremely powerful. Well, we see something and then we believe something. We might see that God is powerful, but looking around, we might doubt that he's involved. We see this sometimes in politics. We see a powerful country or powerful leader, and they express their condemnation of some war or some injustice or some tyranny. But until they get involved, it doesn't really make a difference, does it? They can talk all they like. Well, here we see that God is involved and is completing his plans. Verse 4 is a strange verse. There's no getting away from it. Seven thunders speak, but they're not to be made known. There are various ideas. The more commentators you read, the more ideas you get about this. There might be another series of seven things, or it might be to show that people are already so hard-hearted that nothing else will work to bring them to repentance. But what is certain is that God knows all, and we do not know all. All the way back in Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." Some things we know, some things we don't know, nor understand. And we expect this because we cannot expect to fit our mighty God into our finite brains. Actually, it's wonderful that God reveals anything to us. Who are we to know God's plans? But he does show us what we need to follow him. But then in verse 5, the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He shows his message has universal significance, land, sea, and the heavens. And similarly, God is described in verse 6 as the God of the land and the sea and the heavens, the God who is always. And he says there will be no more delay to the seventh trumpet and that final day. And the mystery of God will be accomplished. Well, what is this mystery of God? Verse 7. Well, the New Testament speaks about mystery of God a few times, actually. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes, "With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." Mystery is the biblical word for how a holy, just God can welcome back people who make a mess of their lives. Those who reject him are welcomed back in Jesus. Evil needs punishing. The wages of sin is death. How does God do justice and also forgive us? Well, it's revealed in Jesus' death and resurrection, isn't it? Jesus, who was without sin and yet took the punishment for sin, the death, and separation. So justice was carried out. Therefore, those who trust in him, who accept him as their substitute, can have their sins and their failings dealt with and be welcomed into God's family. It is a free gift which we receive by faith in Jesus. And if you want to find out more, please ask me. We've been thinking about this on Monday evenings in our Christianity Explored group as well. Jesus' death and resurrection offered in our place as a free gift. We just need to receive it. So this is good news. And in verse 7, the word announced is kind of evangelizes. It's bringing good news that God gave his prophets of his plan. Jesus sent for you. God is carrying out his plan to create a new humanity from all nations. But this mystery needs to be shared. It needs to be preached. For all who turn and put their trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, God's revelation is passed on now. So believe God is carrying out his gospel plan. There's much about God that we do not know, but we're not to worry. Instead, we're hugely thankful for what we do know, recorded in the Bible, this amazing book of God's helpful, vital words. When we see chaos of the world or our lives, come back to this. The true story of world history is being brought about. Mighty God uses all events to bring about his plans. Gospel spread must happen with no delay so people can respond by faith in Jesus. Because when that seventh trumpet is sounded, that's it. But how? How will this spread happen? Well, through God's people sharing his message. So we see a mighty God. We believe that God is accomplishing his plans, that people may hear of Jesus and come to him. And finally, speak, verse 8 to 11. I was thinking about how we carry or pass on something and how seriously we take it. During the school run, sometimes my kids bring back their school bags, sometimes dragged along the ground, sometimes slung to this place and that, certainly dumped on the ground as soon as we get in the door. Or maybe shopping. If you've got something delicate, eggs or fruit or vegetables, we might be slightly more comfortable, careful with that. And how about a baby like Leo or like Imogen, who's joined us this morning? I remember bringing Melody back from hospital that first time. The seat, getting it just right, the decanting the baby into the seat. I've never driven so carefully then, before or since. Well, here we're talking about passing on the very message of salvation itself. The word of, and in verse 9 and 10, we discover, well, it turns out to be an eat. And it's a picture of John as a bitter hostility that it will meet. In chapters 8 and 9, we've seen salvation through judgments after God heard the prayers of his people. It's a parallel to Exodus. Do you remember the amazing judgments, this plagues that God would bring in Egypt, and then the rescue of his people? And do you remember what happens next? Moses gets God's word to pass on to his people. And here we have John getting God's words to pass on to the church. You must prophesy, a key command, a key verse actually in this whole book. And we have it passed on to us. And we become a prophesying church. Chapter 1, verse 1, from God to Jesus, to the angel, the mighty angel, to John, to us. So we are to speak the message of God. People need revelation. They need communication of the Bible, of these truths about God and the world we live in. Or they remain cut off, lost, adrift. We know that there is love, joy, peace, hope, a place, a purpose in knowing our Father God. But they won't know unless they hear. For the mystery of God, the gospel to be accomplished, the gospel has to be heard in every place. Jesus has said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We're up. We're involved. Imagine towards the end of a huge sporty thing. Pick your favourite. Maybe there's a vital penalty in a game of football or a vital throw in some sort of athletics or a run to do. The result of the contest is in the balance. You're enthralled. You're watching. Your team is in play. But then suddenly the captain stops. He comes across. He looks up at you. He points at you and says, "You come. I need you to help finish this off, to take this shot, to make this run." Here is what Jesus is saying to John. It's up to you now. John might think he's done enough. He's quite old. He's been locked away on this island. But he passed it on. He passed it on to the church. He's passed it on to us through this book. And now it's up to us. Will we get out of the stands and onto the pitch? God has given a revelation to Jesus, through that angel to John, to you. that things which must soon take place, no delay. This is not a vision about a mighty angel, but a little book of God's gospel. This is not a vision about the sound of thunders, but of a voice, of our voice, to go and tell. People are in a terrifying danger, so warn them, persuade them, point them to the salvation which is only possible through faith in Jesus. They're people you know, your neighbours, your family, your friends. In 2 Peter, Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's what this book is about. The clock is ticking. Jesus will come again. The seventh trumpet will be sounded. So what are we to do? Well, we're to eat the word for ourselves. Spend time reading your Bible and reflecting on it. Be ready to speak the sweet truth of the free gift of God's. Maybe expect the sourness of the rejection of some. See, God is supremely powerful, Lord of all. Believe, he will accomplish his purposes, whatever the world looks like, whatever your life looks like. And then speak, because we know the truth that God has passed on to us through Jesus and his prophets, as recorded for us in our Bible. We're not spectators. We're not congratulating ourselves for being on the winning side. We're on the pitch, his church, bringing about the new creation, keeping our mighty Father God in view, believing in his gospel of Jesus, and being involved in accomplishing God's work of saving people by speaking our faith and passing on the good news. I'm going to pray that God will open our eyes to see how we might do that even this week. Let's pray. Father God, we see as we read these words in Revelation that you are mighty, mighty God over all things. Help us to keep that vision in our hearts through this week. So easy to go back into our workplaces, our families and friends. Help us to keep that vision. Help us to be confident that you are in control, that you lead us day by day. And then, Lord, somehow make us ready to speak to family, to friends. Make us ready to share our faith, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because we know he is coming again. And we know people need to hear this wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen.